the left corner to Aguilar. Aguilar the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilar. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, it is Tuesday, November 26th. Let's get another hour of Flames Talk underway. Coming at you from our downtown studio, it's Steinberg along with you on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Busy hour ahead. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Flames in the midst of a four-game road trip, which continues on Wednesday in Detroit. But to kick off this hour, it's a Tuesday, which means it's time to say hello to our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli, brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com. Frank joins us now from Daily Faceoff, DailyFaceoff.com, Amazon, and more. Mr. Saravalli, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear from you, as always, and lots to dive into. It's been a busy last few days in the NHL, but I did want to ask you, as the Flames are now officially into the second quarter of their season, they sit all alone in second in the Pacific Division as things stand right now. They're five games above 500. If you go over to Money Puck, they've got playoff odds now over 50%, which is brand new this week. How would you assess, now that we've talked about them many times, but now that they are officially more than a quarter of the way through this season, how would you assess what the Flames have been able to accomplish?
It's been incredibly impressive, and I told you after the 5-0 start and, you know, at varying points to start the year that I needed to see more and I needed to understand exactly what I think this team is and isn't. And I'm ready at this point in time to put a stake in the ground and tell you that I think the Flames are going to be a playoff team.
Okay. What?
And
Go ahead. Sorry. And then I'll ask you a follow-up. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's contingent on a few things, of course. But if the Flames continue to get goaltending at this level, I see a real hard time with them missing.
So what? Yeah, the contingency things that need to happen for the next three quarters of the season, what's kind of non-negotiable? Goaltending, absolutely, and they've gotten top 10 goaltending from their two guys so far this year. What else needs to happen? What's kind of non-negotiable for that stake in the ground to end up being an accurate one?
Got to score. Look, even at this exact point in time, the Flames are neck and neck pretty much with the Oilers and the Kings. The Flames have 61 goals. The Kings have 65. The Oilers, 64. Some would look at this streak that the Flames are on, 18 consecutive games without scoring more than three in regulation, and say, hey, that's probably not a recipe for success. I would actually flip it around and say the other way, which in my view, to take a more optimistic approach is, and that I know that's kind of unlike me, but to take a more optimistic approach and say, probably pretty unlucky. The fact that you go 18 games and score three and can't get over that hump and score again. That's like the line of demarcation. You yep. score four, and you're in great shape to win a game most nights.
Yep.
So I think there's more offense there. I think there's continued growth. I think, look at the way Coronado has been driving play. That's been really impressive the last bit. But I think there's still more there. I think there's more there from Zary. I'm watching Jonathan Huberdeau's ice time. 14 minutes last night. If I'm not mistaken, 14:30, something in that range. I just think there's a lot more for this team to give, and I think a huge part of what they've been able to accomplish to this point is not all based on goaltending. Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge part of it that has something to do with the vibe that's around this team that we've talked about a bit, which is a group of guys that want to be there.
Is there, or how much of a concern is there on the flip side, like that they do hit a wall, the way they play, how hard they play, that it does unravel a little bit? How much or how much exposure? Like if you're willing to stake that claim and say the Flames are playoff bound, and honestly, you know, watching this team for 22 games this year, Frank, I'm kind of the same opinion that I think they're going to really have to work hard to play themselves completely out of contention here. But how much exposure is there for this to unravel on them in your eyes?
Oh, I think there's a fair bit, and there's a fair bit that could make me look pretty stupid. I've said this a couple times this week about the Flames and the playoffs, and I've had a couple of league executives reach out to me, one saying this morning, hey, don't you think the Flames are just this year's version of the Flyers last year, which is team that really worked its butt off, but at the end, a comparative lack of talent and depth had them hit a wall in the last 3 weeks to 5 weeks of the season were just an absolute abject disaster. And it's possible this team has not won a ton in regulation. They have not been a good road team. And if you go back to what we were just talking about, the two other facets of that, the offense and struggling to score, can it go on a more dry spell than it's been? Yeah, I think it's statistically achievable for sure. And the other part is, what happens if the goaltending starts to crack?
Right.
As much as I've lauded Dustin Wolf and his candidacy for the Calder, I mean, he really hasn't seen the bulk of the heavy lifting of starts. And I don't mean workload. That's changing. I mean quality of competition. And Vladar has done a lot of that to this point in the first quarter. What happens if the Flames get to a spot when he's also not there anymore?
Right.
That's possible. I think there's two paths for Dan Vladar, and we can dive into that in a second. But goaltending, scoring, lack of regulation wins, road failures, like all totally open the door to, that plus what every team has to worry about is injury.
Yeah.
Like this is a relatively thin group. If you have a couple players that go out, it might be difficult to stand your ground.
Well, let's move there on the Dan Vladar front, because that was one of the things that was very much on my list of bullet points to hit. Dan Vladar has put together a nice return season after his hip surgery. There are teams around the NHL that are clearly in pretty dire need of some goaltending. And I know that earlier on this Tuesday, you suggested, not saying this is going to happen, but maybe suggested as a decent landing spot for Vladar, maybe the Colorado Avalanche. How much of a possibility is there that could come to fruition in your mind?
Just Colorado or in general?
Maybe if you want, like, to expand it beyond Colorado if you want.
Well, I just say, yeah, the market is a lot bigger, I think, than just Colorado, but they're one of the teams that I would look at and say, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I think he's someone that could come in and immediately stabilize their goaltending, give them an opportunity and chance to win. And, you know, for a Colorado team that's right in the thick of it and could, like, legitimately be a Stanley Cup contender, to not have to pay an arm and a leg in acquisition cost and or on your cap, because they can't on your cap.
Yeah.
That is, I think, a real option. I don't think to this point, that at least to my knowledge, that the Flames have been getting calls on their goaltending. And now the other path of this with Vladar that I think is interesting to consider is, what if you just extend him?
Right.
What if you give Vladar a 2 or 3 year deal at 2.5. Just to pick a number. I think a really reasonable number too, given that his injury and body of work has not been that strong the last few years. You also have to give someone incentive to want to not go to market. If you signed him to a 2 or 3 year deal at 2.5, would his tradability and value be the same, more or less? I'd argue that if anything, it might actually improve it.
So potentially extending him, in your eyes, doesn't necessarily shut the door on Devin Cooley and his thoughts of wanting to be in the NHL with the Flames?
Well, it would. I mean, there's really no question about that, because you have Wolf, who is clearly kind of taking the ball here and running with it. You've got Cooley, who's proven that he's well more than an AHL goalie with the numbers that he's had this year. And then you've got Vladar, who's this, he was a giant question mark heading into the season, pardon the pun, and has been nothing but solid for this team to this point. Me personally, I think the best play would be to try and move him. If you can't get a second round pick, take the third and go with Cooley. But at the same time, how much is a third round pick? If that's what it ended up being, I think the asking price would be a second. If it is a third round pick, how much does that end up helping the Flames at the end of the day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating one, and I know that one of the things that the Flames have been at times that has been part of their thought process has been, if they can recoup what they paid for a player, that sometimes is enough to make a deal, even if it's not exactly what they were looking for. And a number of years ago, they did give up a third round pick to bring Vladar in. So maybe that would kind of be the limit in terms of how low they were to go. You think a second round pick, though, that might be able to get something done, at least in Calgary's eyes?
Yeah, I think that would be the asking price. Yeah.
Okay. We're chatting with Frank Saravalli. He is our Daily Faceoff NHL Insider. He joins us every Tuesday here on Flames Talk, spinning around the NHL, and of course, lots of intel on the Calgary Flames. It has been a busy, busy stretch around the NHL. What was your reaction Monday morning when St. Louis made their coaching move? Drew Bannister out after just over 11 months on the job, less than 82 games on the job for Bannister, and replaced 5 days after Jim Montgomery gets fired in Boston by Jim. What was just your overall reaction to that move?
I would say not surprised, but not surprised. I don't know if that makes any sense. St. Louis was one of the teams that I had mentioned as a real fit based on his previous relationship with Doug Armstrong, having worked there as an associate coach. That said, It's one thing to think it, and it's another thing to have a team actually step up and gong a guy solely because there's a better option out there. So it's not that I truly believe that Jim Montgomery is a top five, top eight, top 10 NHL coach, however you want to slice up the list.
Yep.
And significantly better than a lot of the guys still on the job. But it's another thing entirely to go out and fire someone that you just signed to a 2-year extension or 2-year deal in Drew Bannister over the summer, who got 22 games in a full-time non-interim role. I mean, it's a big decision, a big swing, and not surprised that it's St. Louis, but surprised that someone did it. And surprised that Doug Armstrong essentially he said exactly that. With all due respect to Drew Bannister, we just got someone better.
Yeah, which is, you don't usually hear it quite as cut and dried as Doug Armstrong made it, which I also picked up on when listening and reading.
But
on
who's
Monday.
Kidding who?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you fire your guy 22 games into his tenure. I mean, we all can see, like, we're all smart, sentient human beings here. Like, we can process what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NHL needs more of that. Like, instead of just playing nice in the sandbox, I love that Doug Armstrong was out there this summer saying, oh, wait, the Edmonton Oilers are trying to shoehorn in two young, important pieces with very little cap space left and are essentially saying, take it or leave it. Let's offer sheet two guys at the same time. And when the question was, would Doug Armstrong still have done that to the Edmonton Oilers if his close friend Ken Holland was still the GM? And he comes out and says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, if my own mother was the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, I'd do this. That's what this should be. There's no, like, hey, relationships are great and everyone has to get along to a certain extent. But, like, for the most part, this should be as cutthroat as it is with the way they handle coaches and everything else, the not here for long league. You should be as cutthroat with everyone else as you are sometimes your own people and players.
Yeah, yeah. I really do appreciate the transparency and candid nature of Doug Armstrong. I'm with you 100% on that front. Okay, last couple for you. First of all, some trade buzz and a trade made even on Monday as well. What can you tell us about the David Yurecek stuff in Columbus? I know on 650 on Monday, you were talking about, you know, almost an imminent nature of perhaps a deal being done there with their former first-round pick. What can you tell us about Yurecek and what might happen with his future in Columbus?
Yeah, I'd say not backtracking from that at all. It did seem to be very close yesterday, and I still believe it to be relatively imminent. It's a matter of when and not if the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be moving on from Yurecek. And really what the Blue Jackets are doing now is they went pretty far down the path with a couple teams on trade talks. They just want to make sure they're not missing anything. Instead of just engaging with a couple teams, Don Waddell has gone through the rest of the league now in the last 24 hours or so and said, hey, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Give me your best offer. Let's consider everything so that we don't leave a stone unturned and arrive at a place where, man, we wish we knew that was available right at the time that we made the deal. I don't know that enough teams do that. I think I'd like to think a lot do, but I think there's always this fear of, hey, if we're talking about this or doing that, people are going to find out about it. Well, the cat's out of the bag on this one. Everyone knows what's happening here. Just from the sheer number of GMs I talked to last night and yesterday evening about this exact scenario and situation, everyone's well aware and has a good idea of who the players are and which teams they've engaged with. But, you know, it's just a matter of time now.
Any idea who the teams in the mix would be right now?
I think the consensus has been that the Minnesota Wild are the front runner for Yurecek. There's been a bunch of other teams in the mix hoping to see if they can get Columbus to kind of open up their mind to a different package, so to speak.
Okay.
Like, instead of just one top flight prospect that's of similar quality, would they take a draft pick, a prospect, and something else? Would they, you know, that's the only way a team like Pittsburgh, for instance, can get in. And Kyle Dubas has, you know, he went to Cleveland to see Yurecek play on Sunday and watch them score the overtime winner. They don't have a whole slew of prospects. I'm told they've been willing to put Rucker McGroarty on the table. And they said basically anything we've got that's not nailed down, like, by all means, let's talk. But what can we do if Rucker McGroarty isn't enough to make you want to send us David Yurecek?
And what did you make of that Phil Tomasino deal on Monday? It feels like, on the outside anyway, Frank, 23-year-old guy who has been decently productive at times for a fourth rounder, feels like a decent price for the Penguins to play to pay, rather, and a relatively low price even. But I'm just curious as to how you read that situation.
A guy in need of a fresh start, clearly was not on the favored list of Andrew Burnett, and someone that, based on the path that he was on, was probably likely at some point in the relative near future to be on waivers. And I think the Preds basically decided, hey, let's take the mid-round pick while we can, as opposed to being in a situation later on where we might get nothing for this guy. They just lost Dante Fabro on waivers. And so the Pittsburgh Penguins are just able to jump the queue.
Okay. Fair enough. Great stuff as always, pal. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Have a great rest of your week. And thanks as always for doing this, Frank.
You got it. See you, Pat.
He's Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Amazon, and more. He's our NHL insider on Flames Talk, and he joins us every Tuesday. He's brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, what a follow-up on what we heard a little earlier this hour from Frank Saravalli as we continue along on a Tuesday edition of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Hopefully your Tuesday is going along nicely, or whenever you are listening to us. So Frank Saravalli joined us on Tuesday, and one of the things that was 100% on my list of things we needed to talk to him about, and we did talk to him about, is the future of Dan Vladar. And I know that a little earlier on his show, Daily Faceoff Live, on Tuesday, he suggested, you know, maybe Colorado would be a good spot for Dan Vladar and a good place for the Flames to end up moving him. Let me play you the clip. It's a little bit of a longer clip. If you missed a little of Frank earlier in the hour, this is, again, what Frank had to say about Calgary's situation with Dan Vladar and where this might be going.
The market is a lot bigger, I think, than just Colorado, but they're one of the teams that I would look at and say that makes a lot of sense. Like, I think he's someone that could come in and immediately stabilize their goaltending, give them an opportunity and chance to win, and, you know, for a Colorado team that's right in the thick of it and could, like, legitimately be a Stanley Cup contender, to not have to pay an arm and a leg in acquisition cost and or on your cap, because they can't on your cap.
Yeah.
That is, I think, a real option. I don't think to this point that, at least to my knowledge, that the Flames have been getting calls on their goaltending. And now the other path of this with Vladar that I think is interesting to consider is, what if you just extend him?
Right.
What if you give Vladar a 2 or 3 year deal at 2.5? Just to pick a number. I think a really reasonable number too,
yep.
Given that is injury and body of work has not been that strong the last few years. You also have to give someone incentive to want to not go to market. If you signed him to a 2 or 3 year deal at 2.5, would his tradability and value be the same, more or less? I'd argue that if anything, it might actually improve it.
So that was Frank on the situation, and that was just a little bit of the conversation we had about Dan Vladar. What is the best option here for the Flames? Because we are talking about Devin Cooley having an outstanding year in the American League, and we do know how much Cooley was brought in to be a part of not just the goaltending ladder, but the NHL goaltending picture. Obviously Dustin Wolf is this team's goaltender of the future. What is the best way for the Flames to approach Dan Vladar and to approach the future of their goaltending situation? You know, to Frank's point, could extending Vladar make him more tradable, or does trading him as a pending unrestricted free agent look more attractive to other teams? Is it best to go forward without Vladar, or is it best to keep him in the fold? Like, there's a lot of things to consider there.
Yeah, and I think the starting point where it all boils down to for me is are the Calgary Flames interested in keeping Dan Vladar? And you know, I know people are saying, well, thanks, Wes. Like, really, that, yeah, really, really great starting point. Thank you so much for your insights on this important matter. If the Calgary Flames want to talk contract with Dan Vladar, I certainly understand it. But if you've decided that your goaltending tandem for next season looks like Dustin Wolf and Devin Cooley, then absolutely you're entertaining offers for Dan Vladar. And that's not any sort of criticism of what Dan Vladar's done for your team so far this season. That's just, if you think that this is a guy who's going to be gone after this season anyway, and you're getting trade offers for him, you absolutely have to entertain that. Dan Vladar might not be more valuable than he is today. Now, if he has another 2 or 3 strong months for you, I think absolutely his value can continue to grow. But if you're not planning to keep Dan Vladar, you absolutely have to entertain it. I think, you know, Colorado is an interesting discussion. Like, is Dan Vladar, do I picture Dan Vladar starting games for the Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference Final? I'm just not sure, because we haven't seen proof here.
Right.
And we know Dan Vladar as well as anybody in terms of having watched him these past few seasons. We haven't seen that Dan Vladar can be a number one goalie. We haven't seen that he can be the guy who can go in there and salvage what is quickly becoming a troublesome season for the Colorado Avalanche. And so I understand why the Avalanche would be interested. You know, there's a lot of good tools there. You like the size. You have to like lots of what you've seen from him this season. But, you know, I scribbled down as we were listening to that clip from Frank. One of the appeals of Vladar is that you're not going to have to pay a ton on acquisition cost. And I think that is where the rubber meets the road for the Flames. What can you get for them? And at that point, is it worth flipping them when things seem to be going pretty well?
I guess there's a few things here that also play into it. How much do the Flames want Cooley at the NHL level this year? And right. Not this year. How much do the Flames want Cooley at the NHL level, period?
Right.
And thus, if they are very adamant that, you know, a Northern California duo of Wolf and Cooley is what they want long term, well, then extending Dan doesn't make a ton of sense.
For Dan either.
And doesn't make any sense for Vladar either. Like, what, he doesn't want to all of a sudden be relegated to 3 or be put on waivers or anything like that. I just, with the way Wolf projects, and there is no guarantee that it's just a linear progression. In fact, very rarely does this position progress in a linear fashion. But I think what we're seeing from Dustin Wolf right now, I think what his track record suggests and what goalie people around the NHL and the hockey world believe, I think it's fair to, at the very least, pencil in Dustin Wolf to be a big part of your team going forward. And
not in like light pencil. What do they call that? Pen? Is it pen? I think that's what you'd use.
Yeah, you think we're at the Bic point when it comes to Dustin Wolf?
Yeah, I might not slam the table and yell Sharpie, but we're definitely using ink.
Okay. So Dustin's a part of this going forward.
Absolutely.
And I think, and this is what I would tell Dan Vladar. I'm not trying to run the guy out of town. I'm a big fan of Vladar the goalie. I still think there are potential higher end chops there than what we've seen. And I'm also just a big fan of Vladar the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to run this guy out of town at all. I wonder what's best for him too. Like, if Wolf is the guy that they're clearly committed to and he's going to be the priority guy, which they've already shown he is this year.
Right.
There's a reason why they've handpicked Wolf starts, because they're trying to build him up to something. If Wolf's going to be the priority, does Dan want to be second fiddle if he's got an opportunity to go elsewhere and maybe not be in that situation.
And that's what I was thinking as Frank was floating the idea of extending him for 3 years.
Yeah.
If you're Dan Vladar, and yeah, maybe it does increase his trade value, but if you're Dan Vladar and you're several months away from the opportunity to choose where you think you have the best chance to be a number one, and the Flames come to you and say, hey, you know, 3 more years, decent salary, but not knocking your socks off by NHL standards, I wonder what the motivation is for Dan Vladar to sign that. I certainly, you know, if I was Dan Vladar, I'm sitting there today thinking, well, I feel like I'm a bit of a different goalie post-hip surgery. I want to bet on myself and see if I can bump that AAV up. I want to see if I can have a good season and earn more money for starters. But I also want a chance to be a number one guy. And if I'm looking, and just let me make sure I have the directions in the Flames locker room right, if I'm looking to my right and two stalls over is Dustin Wolf, I know where the organization hopes to go with their goaltending long term. They want that to be the guy. Right? Everyone knows it. Dan gets asked about it all the time. He's not mad about it, but he knows why everyone's calling Dustin Wolf the goaltender of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that future is close, if not now.
Yeah.
And so
it's starting to become the present, right?
Absolutely. And so to circle back, if you're Craig Conroy and the Colorado Avalanche are phoning and offering you a pick or a prospect for Dan Vladar, I think you consider it, because from both an organizational and a player standpoint, I just wonder how much interest there is in keeping this going beyond this year, because I think Dan Vladar might want bigger opportunity, and because I think the Flames might be ready to give Cooley that second spot at the NHL level.
Well, and because Cooley is part of the conversation, because they really like Ignatiev, who is the backup this year to Cooley in the American League, and they really have liked the way their goaltending ladder has started to set up. I mean, sometimes you do have to deal from a position of strength, and sometimes you do have to make a couple of pragmatic moves, and I wonder if pragmatism wins out on this one, and I think the pragmatic move would be to move on from Dan Vladar at some point this year and see what you can get for him as a trade asset. And part of that is continuing to play him. Like, he's going to need to continue playing games if you're going to want to be thinking about that. And this has never been a we don't want Dan Vladar thing. This is a Dustin Wolf's younger. Dustin Wolf is a guy that we drafted and developed, and we're committed to getting him to be our number one goaltender for the future. That's not a slight on Vladar at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're talking about him as a guy who could be coveted elsewhere around the NHL, that's something that I think really ends up being something that Dan could have as a little bit of a, you know, feather in his cap. And one of those things that I think if you're the Flames, you can maybe try to maximize when it comes to an asset. And it all goes back to, again, just to repeat myself, getting Dan to a situation where he's got more of an opportunity to fight for number one minutes or fight for more regular minutes. Because if this goes the way the Flames want it to, you know, you're probably in the next couple of years, if this goes the way it's trending and the way everybody wants it to organizationally, Dustin Wolf for 50 or 55 games a year is what the desire would be. Does Dan Vladar want to be doing 27 to 32 starts a year in Calgary, or does he want to have more of an opportunity to get like 40 somewhere else if he's part of a tandem, if that exists?
And it's where Craig Conroy might feel a little bit of urgency on a day like today after the Colorado Avalanche got their wheels blown off last night by the Tampa Bay Lightning, because there's just not that many in-season trades of goaltenders, right? There's not that many landing spots. There's not that many teams that are suddenly willing to cough something up for a goalie. And so if that opportunity is there, if the Colorado Avalanche are thinking to themselves today, we need a solution. We can't keep trotting out these two guys between the pipes. They're both sitting at 870. It's not working.
Is that where they're at?
871 and 872.
Woof.
If the Carolina Hurricanes with some injury issues are looking at making a goalie move, like Craig Conroy might be feeling some urgency to say, hey, I'd love to give Dan Vladar another couple months runway here to either boost his trade stock or to show us that we should extend him and maybe continue platooning a while longer. But these opportunities just don't pop up that often. And if Craig Conroy gets a good offer for Dan Vladar, who, just to reiterate what you said, I think has some really good tools, has certainly still some potential to be a number one goalie, is a beloved teammate. You hear nothing but good things about him in the locker room. There's all sorts of reasons that the Flames would want to keep him. But if opportunity knocks and you think come July he's signing somewhere else anyway, you have to consider it.
I think there are other places that you could look at for Vladar. I think Montreal, they're kind of the opinion that, yeah, we're done rebuilding. I know they're having a horrible year.
They're not showing it.
And I know that they're not maybe ready to compete right now.
Yeah.
But they've gotten 31st NHL goaltending. The only team worse than Montreal on team save percentage is Colorado. Columbus has really struggled, and they'd like to stop being bad. Pittsburgh doesn't seem like they're ready to rebuild, whether the standings suggest they should be. Mm-hmm. They need better goaltending. So there are places that it would make sense for Vladar to land. There's outside of Colorado, Montreal, Columbus, Pittsburgh, there's three other potential landing spots for him. I don't know. The only thing that gives me pause before we hit the text line, the only thing that gives me pause on making a move this early is Vladar's a really nice cushion to have for a guy like Dustin, and the tandem system has worked. Are you ready to get away from that for a guy who's still in his first NHL season in Wolf? And are you willing to make or put more on Dustin's shoulders this early on? And you might be the only person more confident in Wolf than I am. I know how much of a believer you've been and how much you've been pushing for this opportunity for more than a year now. But is he ready at 23 to have even more on his shoulders? Would it make sense to have Dan here a little bit longer so that the tandem system can continue, so there's a little bit less onus on Dustin for the time being, and then maybe later on you make a deal? Or maybe you just let Dan walk away in free agency. I don't know.
And I'll just add another wrinkle on top of that. Are you comfortable or confident enough in the tweaks that you've made, and tweaks might not be the right word, wholesale changes that you've made to the way Devin Cooley is playing the position, right? Devin Cooley will tell you that he is a totally different goaltender than he was in San Jose last April. And while you look at those AHL numbers, and I know that there's an urge to say, okay, player of the week a while ago, way up in the nine save percentage, get him to the NHL. Is the Flames goaltending department confident that, okay, what we've tried to change in his game, he's had enough reps, he's comfortable enough with it to bring him to the NHL? Because you know Dustin Wolf is going to have a stretch this season where it doesn't go very well.
Yep.
And you'd know if you brought Devin Cooley to the NHL that he'd probably have the same. Is it too big of a risk with what this team's done so far? And I've been pushing all week to not change the future direction, but are we comfortable if we're the Flames goaltending department that, hey, whatever comes, these two can weather it? I don't know the answer to that yet. And like you said, we're big believers in Dustin Wolf, but a big part of doing this properly is making sure he's got some insulation.
Set up for success, right?
Absolutely.
Riley on 10th on the text line says, is it not simply Vladar versus Cooley? Pick one and move the other. Might only get a song for Vladar, so probably okay to keep three for the rest of the year in case of an injury. And I think there's a lot of wisdom to that from Riley. Like, if you have to wait a few months, or if you have to go past the deadline without making a move, yeah, you may not get a third round pick, but it might, if the choice is move Vladar for a third round pick in the next little while here and maybe mess with the perfect or the desired development plan for Wolf,
mm-hmm.
or not get that third round pick and keep Vladar and have the desired plan for Wolf continue. Are you not leaning towards the latter, knowing how important Dustin is for this team?
Especially when you add the secondary risk of messing with what's been a pretty good formula team wide for the Flames so far this year. Like, I'm not vouching to change the long term plan, but you're off to a 12-7-3 start, and that's not typically when you start firing pieces out the door for whatever you can get for them.
Yep. Somebody suggesting Zagadulin. He's in the KHL.
Big snag Zag.
This reads from Jason: sign or extend all three goalies and trade one of the three while they're under contract in the summer. If Vladar won't extend by the deadline you trade him before, no more losing assets for nothing. If keeping Vladar is what you believe is best for the goaltending future and, more importantly, best for Dustin Wolf's development path, I'm perfectly okay with them not getting a third-round pick for him. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly okay with him walking in free agency. I really am. And I'm not always like that when it comes to assets, but on this one, I think I would be.
And third-rounder right now seems like the best-case scenario.
Yeah, and I think that they would like to get a second. I think that come the deadline, if they were adamant in getting Cooley up, they would move Vladar for a third to recoup what they gave up for him a few years ago. But I think they'd like to go a little higher if possible.
Yeah, I think if they were being offered a second, we'd be talking about former Flames goaltender Dan Vladar.
This reads, a Wolf-Cooley tandem would be so fun since Cooley's such an interesting cat and everyone loves him. Sign them both for 8 years. This reads, in a salary dump from Pittsburgh, would you swap Tristan Jarry and a pick or prospect for Vladar? That's from Derek in Red Deer. I don't know Jari's contract status.
Yeah, I was just about to look that up.
If he's short term, that might be okay. If he's signed anything more than this year, though, I would probably
say he is.
Yeah. I think he is too, but
signed a 5-year deal on July 1st, 2023.
So yeah, I'd be a no on
no
that
thanks.
One. Yeah. No knock to the former Edmonton Oil King. Heck, Tristan Jarry helped me and Dampy Brar win a ball hockey game once. Now, Dampy Brar is one of the best ball hockey players to ever play.
Mm-hmm.
So he did most of the work, and Tristan Jarry was in net and was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just stood there on defense, occasionally clearing pucks or clearing balls. That's all I did. It was like a charity Sportsnet 960 versus some other people ball hockey game once.
Yeah.
Dampy Brar, so good. And also on top of that, Tristan Jarry in net.
Yeah, I'm going to check YouTube for those highlights later.
You won't find me on them, that's for sure. This says, Dan's been very good this year. I think you can get a second rounder. You'd hammer that deal. But if it's a third, you probably sit back and play it by ear until closer to the deadline. If there's no fair extension by then, flip them anyways. That comes from Dylan. What else we got here at 960-960 on the text line? I'm really happy with the culture the Flames are developing. A rebuild of top picks year after year seems to make it hard to change to a winning culture. So playoff experience is big too when developing a young team. I hope Calgary consistently picks up a couple players to flip for picks and build towards contending with a young team. Letting Vladar walk for nothing is counterproductive. They need to get something for him and hopefully get Kuzmenko going as well. This reads from Colin. Even if the Flames are in a playoff spot come the deadline, I think you still need to look at trading Vladar. This is his chance at UFA, and he's not stupid. Wolf is the future. Wolf and Cooley tandem is similar to what they have now. And finally, this reads, fellas, at the end of the day, it's about managing assets. I like all three goalies right now, but do you truly believe this team is for real? They're definitely feisty, and I respect the team spirit and attitude, but they're a couple years away from truly contending. I trust Craig Conroy. There you go. Text line at 960-960.
And a great text to wrap on. I think the challenge for Craig Conroy is you don't want to send the message to a group that's off to a surprise start that you don't believe in them. And that's the tightrope walk that he has to try to figure out.
He's Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cam Hughes, our producer this hour, and that'll wrap us up on this hour of Flames Talk. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.